Well, we've seen him all over social media, most recently taking in his old buddy Dmitry Yashkin's game in the KHL. He and his family there. So let's talk some Alex Ovechkin as we welcome you in to this edition of the Capital Building Podcast with Rob Carlin. I am your host, Rob Carlin. We are part of Blue Wire Podcast, this exciting new group. Could not be any more proud to be a part of. And today I've got a guest with me who is going to take a deep dive into the Alex Ovechkin that we've all seen over the last few years, but maybe perhaps we haven't really appreciated enough. And that's Ben Raby from the Caps Radio Network who joins me now. And Ben, you start to look at, look, they got their Stanley Cup in 2018. That quote unquote validated Ovi's career because now he never has to be the greatest player who never won a cup. But what he has done the last couple of years at his age has been nothing short of incredible. And I always keep saying, and you've heard me say this a thousand times, if you doubt eight, that's a you problem, not a him problem, because he just keeps motoring on along. But how incredible is what we've witnessed the last couple of years?
Tremendous, Rob. I'll make the case that in his 14, 15-year career, starting to lose track now, but the last 3 years, okay, beginning with the Stanley Cup season, all the way through to the abbreviated 1920 season. I'll make the case those 3 years, we're seeing the best of Alex Ovechkin these past 3 years. Sure, he put up some bigger numbers. A 65-goal season comes to mind, north of 100 points earlier in his career, sort of a decade ago, 08 to 2010, if you want to look at that period. Numerically, he may have put up a little bit more numbers. But if you look at the last 3 years in terms of what he's doing, again, with more of the all-around game, the increased even strength productivity we've seen over the past few years, the leadership, of course, the Stanley Cup comes to mind. But since the Stanley Cup, if anybody had an excuse, Rob, right, to take the foot off the gas just a little bit, the fatigue, the hangover, we all saw to an extent how much fun he had in 2018. Surely there was more even behind the scenes. We never saw what he did that summer. He came back that fall and that 18-19 season. There were some passengers on that team, not Alex Ovechkin. Last season, when the team had ebbs and flows, Alex Ovechkin arguably the most consistent. What he's done the last 3 years in his ages 32, 33, and 34 seasons, when most players, almost all players, are on a decline in their careers, to me, what he's done the last 3 years, big picture, to me, it's the best. We've seen the best of Alex Ovechkin these last 3 years.
Which is amazing to say, and you know, we didn't fully get to see what he was going to be last year. He had the 48 goals. It's tied for another Rocket Richard. And, you know, he's already now set the record for the goals in your age 34 or older year. But, I mean, you think about what could have been. I mean, this could have been a 55-goal season, probably somewhere around there. So, like, you know, as much as he's accomplished the 700-plus goals, we all know that the Gretzky run is still a big part of whatever narrative is going to be written on Ovi. But think about all the games that have been lost in his career to lockouts and strikes and all the different things or pandemics. And man, it's almost mind blowing of what could still have been.
And when you touch on this year that he could have had, surely he would have had another 50 goal season. He was 2 goals shy. Could have had, as you mentioned, maybe 55 goals. If you go over an 81, 82 game season that he would have had. What stands out to me about this year and the past few years, he led the league in even strength goals this year with 35, which is also the most even strength goals he's had in a decade. And that's still with, you know, just under a month left in the regular season. He had 35 even strength goals, Rob, in 68 games. Again, the most he's had since 2010. The power play goals with Ovechkin seemingly will always be there. The patented one-timer from the left faceoff circle. What he's done when I talk about these past 3 years, what he's done at even strength, at 5-on-5, it's not only the number of goals he's scoring, but the way he's scoring them. We've seen examples over the past few years where he's picking up the puck in the neutral zone. He's using the wheels. Goals that maybe 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we weren't seeing quite as much of. There was a little bit of a dip in his even strength productivity. But if he is to hit those numbers, 750, 800, 850, and beyond, you're going to need the even strength 5-on-5 goals to continue. And that's the area that you would think would be the first to, you know, take a little bit of a dip, right? And we saw glimpses of that dip years ago, but it's almost like this is like a he's revived a second coming, a second wave, if you will, in this back nine of his career, where the work and the effort that he's putting into the 5-on-5 even strength, that's what's getting better now in the second half of the career, which to me is the most impressive part of his story, how he's scoring the goals at this age.
Why do you think that is? Do you think, because there's a couple of different theories, I guess we can all have. A is the legacy, and he realizes that his legacy, like the end is closer than the beginning. So he's wants to keep building on what legacy he has. B, he's a smarter player now who maybe has gotten the best coaching over the last couple of years, certainly with Trotz and that staff. So why do you think now, as he's gotten older, because it was a couple of years ago when he had what, the 16 even strength goals, and there was, again, I've never doubted Ovi, but you go, is he just going to be a power play guy? Like, is this what's going to lead to a 30, 35 goal regular occurrence for Ovi, that he's just the even strength, you know, goals are just going to be gone? So in your estimation, having watched him pretty much his entire career, what changed in the last couple of years that's made him this dominant all over the ice at this age?
Well, I point to that off season. So what you're talking about is after the 16-17 year, and I put this in air quotes, he had only 33 goals that season, but as you noted, 16 of them were at even strength. And I remember he ranked 67th in the league in even strength goals. Jason Chimera at age 39 with the Islanders had more even strength goals that year than did Alex Ovechkin. And that offseason,
that puts everything in perspective, by the way. That put a lot in perspective.
And there were others. There were others on the list. There were others on the list. But his even strength productivity in what was a President's Trophy winning season for the Capitals in 16-17, but the even strength goals and the productivity, it dipped at 5-on-5. And that offseason, or as they were having the exit meetings, you referenced Barry Trotz and Trotz and McClellan. They acknowledged with Ovi at a little bit of a crossroads here. Which way is this going to go? And if you take all parties for their word, Ovi took that to heart. And that's summer of 2017. So the offseason prior to the eventual cup-winning season, there was more emphasis put on conditioning by Ovi, on conditioning, on speed training, as opposed to going into the weight room, the brute strength, etc. I'm not sure if there's a direct correlation. You recall how he started that year. He had 7 goals the first 2 games, and it propels them, and he has another terrific goal-scoring season. He scores north of 30 even strength goals. But I think that transition from 16-17 to the cup-winning year, there was a little bit of a wake-up call that summer that allowed him, or that he then changed some of the training regimen that he had, the trend that he was going down, the route that he was going down. And there were many goals that year. I remember writing about them. I remember watching them on TV. There were many goals that year where, again, it wasn't just the goals he was scoring, it was how he was scoring them. He was scoring them at the end of lengthy shifts. He may have been on the ice north of a minute, more north of a minute 20, maybe not by Barry Trotz's preference, but he was scoring goals at the end of these lengthy shifts where it showed he still had something left in the tank. He still had gas left in the tank. And there were many examples like that. There have been examples like that over the past 3 years. And I certainly do think that 16-17, the dip he had, if you want to call it that, was a wake-up call, and there were changes and adjustments made as a result. And clearly, he hasn't dipped again since, if any, that last 3 years.
Yeah, so obviously they challenged him. They tested him to see what he was made of, maybe as much mentally as physically, because physically has never been the question. The game has changed a little bit, too. The goals are going up again, around the NHL. But I'm with you. The way he scored goals the last 3 years, there's been a handful of tip-ins, where he puts his body in front, charging the net, so many different ways that he scored goals, that I think that's what intrigued me the most. It feels like anytime he gets a 2 or 3 steps going and the body starts going and he's coming down the wing and the puck ends up, that's like, okay, he's scoring right here. But when he does it sort of in the run of play and in getting into those positions, that's where I thought, why would anyone expect this to slow down? He's still bigger, stronger, faster, and now willing to go there. Like, I don't see why. I still don't see why anyone would say, this is the year. It's only going to be 32 goals. Yes, he had a lot of I feel like a lot of his dips were coaching. But who cares? He's not human 35. He's Ovi 35.
I know. And that's the most, maybe the most impressive part of his legacy. Ultimately, he'll always be remembered for the goal scoring, but the durability and what he continues to do at this age, and it's not only at this age, it's with more than 1,100 games under his belt, more than 1,200 games if you throw in the postseason. And as Barry Trotz used to say, those aren't quiet games. Those aren't quiet minutes he's playing. He plays the physical brand of hockey and you know, almost engages in it himself, and he takes a lot of the brunt of it, of course, on a nightly basis. And, I mean, for comparison, wrote about this a few years ago, but you look at 32. I mean, he had the chronic knee issues. Mike Bossy. We always see Mike Bossy's name up there with Gretzky and Ovi with the great goal scores. Retired at the age of 32. Pavel Bure, another Hall of Famer, forced to retire due to injury. Wayne Gretzky, his age 33 season, was limited to 45 games because of back surgery. Like, this is what happens. This is what happens to great Hall of Fame talent. And for Ovi to continue to play the way he does, and not only that, Rob, but even those names I mentioned, they were playing at an age where it wasn't 22, 23, 24-year-olds who were at the top of the goal-scoring chart every year, and then this 34, 35-year-old in Alex Ovechkin. It's just what he has done with the miles on the hockey odometer, the type of game he's played at his age, and given how the game is trending, all of it combined – is just that there is nothing else you could really compare it to league-wide historically. Nothing.
Yeah, and you know, it's always hard to compare players of generations, right? They'll compare Babe Ruth to Hank Aaron to A-Rod to like whatever. Everyone went through different. The 80s Lakers versus the Jordan Bulls or the Warriors. Like, you just, the games change and responsibilities change. You think back to those NHL games. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the league was a little bit more, scoring was a little bit easier. I mean, you look back at those videos and we always laugh about it. Goalies, it felt like goalies had no pads on and could barely stand up. Any shot on them and they went down. And you think about what Ovi could have done, how many more goals in that generation had he come up. Again, everything's different. Gretzky would have been great no matter when. Bossy would have been great no matter when. But sometimes you look and go, he's doing this in the hardest generation to score goals. And like you said, it's, you know, 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 23-year-old, Ovi. How does he do it? It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the company right now that he's keeping atop the goal-scoring leaderboard, if you will, the competition he had this year was David Pastrnak and Austin Matthews, and there's like a 10-11 year gap between them. It's just remarkable. And then again, with the volume of games, I'll come back to that. The first player since Gordie Howe in 1963 to lead the league in goal scoring with more than 1,000 games under his belt. And Ovi's now done it three straight years. He hit 1,000 games in March 2018 and finished the year atop the goal scoring chart. It's just, it's impressive. But I will say, Robin, I know you always say this, you always come back to it. If you want to count Ovi out, that's a you problem. You like using that line. I'm not going to count him out, but I'm going to say, you wonder now what this does, this pause. You wonder how everything, you know, this lengthy, okay, he had a taste of it in July and August with the postseason, but we're talking under 10 games that he played. To now have this break, and we don't know when exactly they're going to come back, but without looking too far ahead, you wonder what this much time off does for somebody of his age. And again, given all those miles, maybe it's viewed as a good breather, a necessary breather that he needs to recharge the batteries. But he didn't look like a guy who needed the batteries recharged, as we've established. So it'll be interesting to see how he eventually comes back from this, and the broader point that you kind of alluded to earlier is you wonder too what this does to his chase for 894.
Even though sports had a break, your business did not. So you have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com, the number one job site in the world, because Indeed gets you the best people fast. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Football is back in swing. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action to Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to Bet Online online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And, you know, you almost wonder as you watch, and it's really his wife who's putting all this stuff out on social media, and they've been in Russia now for a while, and, you know, it looks like they're having a great time. You see all kinds of parties and live music and, you know, at the KHL games and all these different things, and he's spending a ton of quality time with his son. Like, the wonder almost is, for me anyway, has been, you know, when is that stuff going to start being like, you know, this is fun. This is a good life. I don't know that I need to gear back up every day. As a player gets older, I don't think Ovi's anywhere near that. But you start wondering, man, life's pretty good. You know, life is good. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got great kids. I'm already one of the greatest of all time. Like, you just hope that that engine, you know, can still redline when he wants to. I think it will. But that's more of a concern than any physical toll that these – whatever 1200 games it will take on his body, to me anyway.
Right. Yeah. Or conversely, you often hear it during the lockouts, Rob, the players, they spend X amount of time at home. They're revved up and they're ready to get back to work eventually. There's a lot of honey to-do lists that during those times too. You wonder how many months one could take it, but it works both ways. And hey, he's churning out a hockey factory there with his little one too.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. I don't know if you heard the this cracked me up. I don't know if you heard the podcast I did with Jeff Halpern recently, but did a fun interview with him. And he talked about Ovi when he would play against him. If you heard, he said when Ovi would get his body moving, you'd hear his chains start rattling because he wears the chains around his neck. And he goes, you'd be in the corner and you'd hear the chains. And I was like, you can actually hear that? He goes, oh, yeah. And you knew when he was coming and he was bearing down on you, which just cracked me up in an arena full of 20,000, you know, potentially some music playing, whatever's going on. Halpern's like, oh, Ovi had a signal and he heard those chains. That just cracks me up. The little things that go on the ice that those guys can pick up made me laugh.
Your footsteps, you hear chains, especially I imagined in the bubble when there was no crowd noise whatsoever. But no, such a remarkable talent that we've been able to watch, and even going back to that, hearing the footsteps, hearing the physicality, still last year we're talking about his age 34 season, still ranked in the top 20 in the league in hits.
Right.
I mean, we're not even, you know, we're talking, he led the league in goals, he led the league in even strength goals. He was somewhere in the top 20. I forget the exact number, but he was in the top 20 in hits.
Yeah, and he's always valued that part of the game. I think it's also, you know, you touched on it before, and of all the amazing stats that we go through and, you know, the company and the names that he's passing and the Lemieux and the Yzermans and all these different all-time greats that he passed just this season, in his assault on Gretzky's record. That stat you drop on the Gordie Howe, I mean, that's like, you know, like there's sort of like the all-time great, you know, stats that Gretzky has, pretty much all of them, but Mario Lemieux and Yzerman and all that. And then there's just sort of this separate category for Gordie Howe, right? Like he's, you know, Mr. Hockey and everything that he accomplished and how long he played for. When you start like thinking about Ovi's doing things that only Gordie Howe had done, it struck me when you said it, and I meant to circle back to it, but that's sick. And again, these are the times where you go, do we take it for granted a little bit? Like, yeah. how great this guy is.
And I'll give you two that I found with Gordie Howe. I gave you the one that you know, a player with 1,000 plus games to lead the league in goal scoring. It's those two, Ovi and Howe. And the other one is to have had 35 even strength goals this year at age 34 for Ovi. The only two players age 34 or older, if you follow, to score 35 plus even strength goals are Ovechkin and Howe. Howe did it when he was 40 because Gordie Howe played until he had tons of gray hair and he was playing with his sons. But that was the list. It was Howe and Ovi. We're talking 35 plus even strength goals when you're 34 years or older. So just remarkable in that regard too. And one thing I want to circle back on too. You were talking earlier. You were asking, you know, about this stretch that Ovi's had over the past few years and what's changed. Was it a leadership? You know, you were inquiring, is leadership part of it? He had a game this past season. It was the one right before the All-Star break, which feels like eons ago. They were on Long Island, the game where they rallied against the Islanders.
Yep. Right?
They were down 4-1, I think 4-1 after the second period, after Montave scored and did the bird celly. And it was right before the All-Star break and the bye week. Ovi literally had a private jet waiting for him post-game to take him and his wife and kid down to Florida, where they were going to spend the week and relax. They're down 3 going into the third period. And Holtby had been pulled, I remember, to start the third. Ilya Samsonov came in. Ovi gets a hat trick in that third period. Capitals rally. They win the game 6-4. The engine was running, right? To go on your week break and to go to South Beach and to go enjoy yourself. And Ovi put it in an extra gear to get a hat trick, to put the team on his back, and to eventually win 6-4 in a game that they had every right to just say after 40 minutes, all right, good effort, boys. We'll see you after the break. And I remember, too, he gave, and I referenced the Holtby being pulled, because he gave the hard hat. Is that what they did this past year? Whatever the post-game in the locker room. Nationals helmet. It was the Nationals helmet. Ovi gave the helmet to Holtby. And that was, and I remember Todd Reardon singled that out, but that's a captain right there, right? And that's something that also earlier in his career, Ovi has done so much good, so much tremendous for the team. But that's the elder statesman of the team right there, putting the team on his back in a regular season game right before the break. That to me stuck out as well in a season where he had multiple hat tricks, as arguably one of his better performances that maybe gets lost in the shuffle when it's all said and done.
That's a great point. I know Alan loved that game because the same thing. The team could have easily just tanked and been like, whatever, we'll see on the other side of the break. And for Ovi to do that and the extra layer of giving the helmet to Holtby. And I don't know, it's hard to quantify this, because I don't know too many all-time greats that took the abuse from national/international media that Ovi took. Some of it probably warranted for being quote-unquote a one-way player. Okay, if you want to penalize a guy for being the greatest goal scorer on the planet, okay. But, you know, sure, there were definitely spots where he allowed the naysayers and the critics room to have their say. But I don't know if anyone has changed the way he's perceived or like I said, change the narrative on who he is more so at that level at this point in his career than Ovi. I mean, you think about that pre-Stanley Cup, end of that Penguins series in 2017, another loss. The team is fractured. Ovi and Backstrom hate each other. Ovi doesn't get along with another coach. You think about all those things that followed him really his entire career to now, like you said, those things are pointed out by everybody. There's not too many. Mike Milbury hasn't been heard from in quite some time with negative things to say about Ovi. You know, he has really done a remarkable job just through the kind of the old school Cal Ripken theory. Just show up, do your job, play to the best of your abilities every single night, and you'll earn that respect. And, you know, you really think about how far he's come is almost remarkable, especially for an all-time great.
Yeah, I think the 2018 postseason run kind of did. I'm not even talking about even June 7th, the night in the Cup. I think that run along the way and beating Pittsburgh and all the shots of him on the bench when his teammates were scoring and doing great things in the Eastern Conference Final against Tampa Bay. I think along that run, and I think finally getting through Pittsburgh, I think there was, not that he needed validation or needed to earn the respect of the so-called pundits and the national media up north in Canada especially, but I think along that run, there was a lot of respect that was earned, and the way he was playing the game that spring, I think a lot of folks certainly appreciated, you know, the journey he had been on. But to your point, you referenced 2017 when they lost again to Pittsburgh. I'll almost point to the start of where the naysayers were really coming out. You know, 2010, they had a President's Trophy winning team, the Capitals. They flame out to the Montreal Canadiens. In between there in that season, he had a quarterfinal loss in the Olympics to good old Sidney Crosby and Team Canada at the Vancouver Games. I think that year it started even, the critics got louder. And I'm going back to 2010. So to your point, if you have 2010, all the way through to 2017, and they just keep coming at you, keep coming at you. What a weight off the shoulders that eventually came in 2018. And I'll say, since then, Rob, you're right. You don't hear any critics. You don't hear that. But the one thing, kind of to bring it back full circle, the one thing I think folks don't fully appreciate is when you look at the past 3 years, is how good Ovi was. And maybe how some of his teammates, despite division titles, didn't necessarily do their part. And whether that's local, whether that should be national, I think that there was so much, especially local, so much good that came from that 2018 Cup win. It's easy to maybe brush aside or forget missed opportunities in the 2 years since, right? That 2018 bought so much goodwill, and you know, it's great that they got it, and it's hard to win it, I get it, but the way Ovi played and the way Nick played in 2019, I really think that the past 2 years, there were some, you might realize it, folks might realize it down the line more, what was potentially missed or not fully taken advantage of.
That's a great point. That is a great point, because you can excuse the first round loss to Carolina. It was a hell of a run. They put us on a wild ride and we all enjoyed it. And it sucked that you lost a game seven, especially that way. But now it's back-to-back first round losses. You're through another coach and yeah, you're quote unquote wasting miraculous seasons from a guy who shouldn't be doing this at his age. And maybe because DC was so desperate, and things have changed a little bit now with a couple more titles, but they were so desperate for something that we've overlooked a little bit of the post story to that 2018 run. Do you have like one memory of Ovi? And I'll let you go on this. For me, I, you know, when I was at NBC Sports Washington and I got to do a ride along with him for one of those Papa John's deliveries that he did this year, and I got to ride in his car and talk to him. And, you know, any of those things, they don't always go right. We showed up at a firehouse, like literally as we're pulling into the firehouse, we heard the alarm go off and the trucks left. And we were like, oh no, we've got 30 pizzas. They've just left on a fire call. And he just rolled with it and went in, and he met a bunch of people and he was great. Then we went and sat outside a house, because we kind of changed the delivery because we were running late, and he just stood outside. Yeah, sure, he bitched and moaned a little bit, but once the woman answered the door, he went up there and sold it, and the kids, like, and I was just like, man, this dude, 15 years later, how many times has he done this? And he's still, he's great at this, man. He is just, and you know, people are looking out like, is that Alex Ovechkin walking up? You know, like they're freaking out. And he was still great and smiled and pictures and all that stuff. And I just thought, this dude's great, man. He still gets it after all these years. Did you have any sort of experience with him where you were just like, man, it's got to be either hard or it's sometimes exhilarating to be Alex Ovechkin?
I think I wasn't there, to be honest, when they won the cup and he was parading through the fountains and doing Nationals Park on that Saturday. I was enjoying some family time that day, but I remember sort of following along that day, and it started at Nationals Park. Everyone remembers the fountains and later that night in Georgetown and various establishments, but the state that he was in at Nationals Park, and he threw out the first pitch, and then he calls Max Scherzer, let's do it again. And I think they were only supposed to stay there for what, 2, 3, 4 innings, and they stayed in the suite for all 9, and they enjoyed themselves. And Ovi was just, he was leading the show that day. And to me, that was a guy who just wanted to have a good time, wanted to have fun, and his teammates followed him that day. But that was almost like I don't, there was nothing innocent about it, but
no,
at the same no. time, there was some innocence attached to that. It was just letting loose, not a care in the world.
No, that was certainly a special time. It was a special, yeah, it was great. It was great watching them all the way through that. It looks like we've taken some sort of a hit.
To see that eventually shared some of the video that have happened.
All right, Ben Raby, thanks so much for your time. Your insight on Alex Ovechkin, you know, again, the comps to Gordie Howe, just remarkable. We have been very lucky to tell his story over the years, and hopefully we'll have hockey to watch and commentate on sooner rather than later. So Ben Raby from the Caps Radio Network, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, hope you guys enjoyed this look back on the incredible career and the life and times of Alex Ovechkin, still going strong at now 35 years old. Please remember to subscribe, download, leave a rating, write a review on the Capitol Building Podcast with Rob Carlin, part of Blue Wire Podcast. We'll talk again soon. Let's go, Caps.